this is mostly astrophysics, not plasma physics. So I thought
okay.
You might
still get wrong.
Okay, but not very much. This audience may not be very interesting. So actually, I prepared another talk which involves more plasma physics. So if you guys do not interrupt me very much, let me finish this talk quickly. Then the title of the second talk will be kappa distribution of a particle in the intracluster medium, which some of you may be more interesting. Okay, so let me see whether I can go to that talk or not. Okay, first, in this proton acceleration in intracluster medium and the gamma ray, the issue is not how to accelerate a particle in intracluster shock. That is not the issue. The issue is how we do not accelerate particle in intracluster medium. Okay, I will get that point. Okay, here. Okay, let me. I guess most of you are aware of all this kind of issue, but some of you may not be. So, the intracluster medium is a hot plasma filling most of the cluster of galaxy volumes with a temperature of few to several KeV, and quickly, and this is a typical fluid parameters in intracluster medium. The particle number density is, this is close to the core region. In outskirts region, it should be lower than that. And the temperature is typically 10 to the 8 Kelvin, and the magnetic field is typically microgauss, okay? You can, with a velocity about several hundred kilometers per second, then you can calculate thermal energy and kinetic energy and the magnetic energy. Forget about cosmic ray. And kinetics, thermal energy is the most important component in ICM. And the kinetic energy is about one-tenth of thermal energy. And the magnetic energy is about another one-tenth of kinetic energy. So in this environment, plasma beta is about 100. So it means that the magnetic field is really very weak. But it's supposed to play a role in a number of aspects.
Can I ask, when you say cosmic ray energy, this is?
Oh, this is old. this estimation may not be.
But it's an upper limit for protons.
Yeah. This should be smaller than that. Okay.
And magnetic fields are reconnecting in this way.
Yes. Actually, in our simulation, we saw reconnection in intracluster medium, and that can also contribute energization of a particle. Okay, but that's another story. Okay, yeah, ICM is basically not a quiet medium. It's highly dynamical. It contains many things, but on the top of that, on the top of the turbulence and the magnetic field, there are shock waves. Okay. Shock waves in intracluster medium has been observed both in X-ray and the radio. Okay, this is one of probably most well advertised observation of X-ray shocks in intracluster medium called bullet cluster. Okay, here two shocks has been identified. The shocks has a Mach number 2 to 3 or so. So typically the ICM, in the ICM, X-ray shock is a Mach number 2 to 3. And also lots of shocks has been observed in cluster through something called the radio relic. Okay, this is radio maps, and you can see the structure, and this is perhaps the best known, something called the sources relic. And this is basically a synchrotron emitted by cosmic ray electrons accelerated at the shock, okay? Based on that assumption, we can calculate the shock Mach numbers and other properties. And the Mach numbers of shocks, there is again 2, 3, 4, something like that. So it's mostly weak shock, okay? And then, of course, shock waves has been studied through a cosmological structure formation simulation by now for a while. Okay, and this is one of those simulations, and showing distribution of typical clusters. Okay, there are strong shocks with a Mach number less than 10 surrounding clusters of galaxies, but this kind of shock is dynamically not important. There's almost no hope this kind of shock will appear in observation. But there are lots of shocks inside the clusters, and these shocks inside in intracluster medium is mostly weak with a Mach number less than a few to several. Okay, the shock is weak mostly because this intracluster medium is hot, so sound speed is very large, so that's why mostly the Mach number is small. Okay, and the number of mechanisms to produce this kind of shock has been identified, and among them, something called the merger shocks induced by major merger during the formation of a cluster are considered to be the most important, meaning that the most energetic. Okay, and this kind of shock has been, of course, also appeared in simulations, and this is one of the simulations. There's two mergers, and okay, sharks propagate outward, and sorry, this is a poor man's version of a movie, and we don't have a very good facility to make this kind of movies. But anyway, so if we analyze the properties of sharks in intracluster medium, this is roughly what we get. And there are intracluster sharks. This is energetics. Energy flux through shock surface as a function of a Mach number, okay, in log scale. So this intracluster shocks with a Mach number 2 to 3 are energetically most important, okay. Of course, there are strong shocks, Anatoly once mentioned, but this is energetically not important, so we can probably ignore in terms of particle acceleration, etc., etc. Okay. So this kind of shocks in intracluster mediums are also collisionless, so expect to accelerate the particles. Okay, so this is a short comparison of properties of shocks in different environment. Okay, the point is that in IPM, interplanetary medium, and ISM, the magnetic field is relatively important, so plasma beta is of order one. On the other end, in ICM, plasma beta is large. So as a consequence, sound Mach number, okay, is like this. So ICM shocks are fairly strong in terms of alpha Mach number, but still very weak in terms of sonic Mach number. Okay, so this kind of shock has not been studied very much before. Okay, of course, some studied, but there are not much work on this kind of shock. So this is a relatively new regime. Actually, this ICM, the plasma in ICM has properties different from ICM, the plasmas in different environment in solar, wind, and ISM. So the relatively less study has been done on plasmas in ICM environment. Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but if it is true that most energy is not going through the energetic shocks, high Mach number, but how much energy do you actually need? Like, if you want to explain the observed non-thermal emission, do you actually need it to be caught as a fraction of the total energy that goes through the shock?
Well, yes. Exactly for what you want to explain. For instance, if you want to explain radio relics, okay. Radio relic is mostly electron is important, mostly matter, and the amount of energy which go to electron is actually huge. Okay, it's too large. Okay, so like 10% of shock kinetic energy go to, in extreme case, needed to go to the electrons, and a few percent, something like this. So that's too large.
It's primary acceleration, yeah. You should say.
Yeah, primary acceleration.
If we bond acceleration of some pre-existing electrons, then it's not as much.
Right. So fresh injection and acceleration may be in trouble. So that's why we need something else.
Are you confident about the Mach number of relics?
I'm a theorist. If observers says Mach number 2 or 3, I should believe that.
Well, but also just because you're dealing with shocks in a reasonably virialized medium, the Mach number can't be much.
Those kind of outer shocks is not really energetically important, so they are not observed. Okay.
And so it's really the observation. So I mean, I don't think there is any controversy.
Yes.
So from my understanding, intercluster shocks, like in the core of the cluster, don't get Mach numbers above 2.
Right. Exactly.
But even the merger shocks you're talking about.
Once the shock moves to outskirts region with a slightly lower density, Mach number can grow up to 2 to 3 or sometime 4.
Okay, so we're outside the core.
Right.
But as you pointed out, I think that's the bullet cluster you showed, I think that is still the, in terms of X-ray measured shock Mach numbers, is the highest they've ever seen.
Okay, so bullet cluster is a special case.
I would like to understand, are we sure that it's not second order firmware?
At the shock, for the radio relic. Radio halo, secondary, turbulent acceleration is, of course, is the top important. Okay, so I can skip this, probably. Okay, so Hesong yesterday showed this already. So we did, in order to study particularly proton acceleration, we made a number of quasi-parallel shock simulation using peak code, and this is also Hesong showed. But the point is, what we found is that the Mach number below 2.25 or so, acceleration efficiency drop, and then above, there's some kind of relationship. And the injection fraction, this is the this number is sort of somewhat arbitrary, but this is important actually in the quantitative estimation. But it seems to be a few to several times 10 to the minus 3 of particles, protons, could be injected in this peak simulation. Okay, this is up to this is okay, all right. But if we take a look at the gamma ray observations, we know that if there is a cosmic ray, then gamma ray can be emitted, and this is perhaps too easy. But anyway, so basically gamma ray can be emitted by decay of neutral pions, but also neutrinos can be emitted. But the neutrino is, if you work with a gamma ray, you can always work with a neutrino. That's a sort of a bonus, okay? But anyway, so people already worked on this gamma ray. For instance, this is one of a paper. I know that there's a number of papers, and Pacha et al. Did. And first of all, this gray line shows the upper limit of a gamma ray from clusters observations based on Fermi lat. Okay, and then Pacha et al. Franco. He took sort of a different acceleration models, okay, and then calculate the gamma ray from his simulated clusters and compared with observations. Okay, that's what he did. Okay, here's the conclusion. Okay, if we define acceleration efficiency like this, so the denominator is the kinetic energy flux through shock surface, and this is cosmic ray energy coming through the shocks. So the fraction of energy which become cosmic ray, okay? In order to be compatible with the Fermi lat, the acceleration efficiency should be less than 0.1% or so, okay? This is the conclusion they draw in the paper.
Only accounted for a cosmic ray advection, but they guess.
No advection. Okay, they actually include advection, but not streaming.
Yeah, exactly. No streaming, no diffusion.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, this is again our simulation result. If the fraction is like this, injection fraction is like this, acceleration efficiency, this fraction can be converted to the acceleration efficiency all the time. And then acceleration efficiency is a few percent, okay? This is way too large with the upper limit imposed by Fermi lat observation. Okay, so now we need how to not accelerate cosmic ray in ICM shocks. Okay. And as a matter of fact, this acceleration efficiency also, a few percent acceleration efficiency also confirmed from hybrid simulations. This is again Damiano and Anatoly paper, and this is an unpublished result, and Caprioli Damiano did high beta simulations. Okay, so as you can see that this one is a particularly high beta simulation. Okay, and he got the acceleration efficiency like this. So Mach number 2 to 3, the acceleration efficiency he got from hybrid simulation for high Mach, high plasma beta case is still 1% also. So that's still too large. Okay. But we took a look at the long-term evolution of quasi-perpendicular shocks. Oh, yes, quasi-parallel shocks, sorry. Yes, quasi-parallel shocks, and try to estimate proton accelerations. And again, this is the plot which Hye-sung showed yesterday already. Okay, we see that the continuous decrease of injection fraction. Okay, so that the long-term evolution of quasi-parallel shocks may be different to what we observe at currently with the peak simulations. Okay, again, this is a page which Hye-sung showed yesterday. Hybrid simulation also showed that the long-term evolution. Basically, the point is that as particles, the maximum energy of accelerated protons extend to higher and higher energy, basically the amplitude drop. Okay, that sort of makes sense.
Energy in the tail stays the same. Total energy in the tail stays the same.
So slightly, yeah.
It can't grow both.
Right. It cannot grow both. Okay. So, in this paper, which was just accepted for publications, we came out with a model for DSA in ICM shocks. Okay, this is assumptions we made. First, ICM shocks are mostly weak, so can be described by something called the test particle models. Okay, and the second, above some energy, the protons or ions are injected to DSA process. Okay, up to this may be okay, but this is some third and new assumption is that as the fraction of energy goes to cosmic ray, the thermal component cool down. Okay, so this shows that the amplification of this plot showing that as the highest energy stretch to the higher and higher, the maximum energy stretch to higher and higher energy, the fraction, the thermal component lose energy, and the total energy is conserved. Okay, if we made this kind of assumptions, okay, yeah, magnification of figure. Okay, and then based on that assumptions, we calculate a number of a quantity as a function of maximum energy. of cosmic rays. Okay. So injection fraction basically, as the energy increase, the maximum energy increase, injection fraction should decrease. Otherwise, the amount of energy should keep increase and it become disaster. Okay, that cannot happen. Okay, and on the other hand, acceleration efficiency.
Spectrum is
deeper. We assume that the spectral slope is the same. Governed by sort of test particle sort of approximation.
Yes, but Mach is low, therefore energy integral converged.
The Mach number does not change very much, I mean, in with this sort of level of energy transfer from thermal to non-thermal component. Okay, so acceleration efficiency approaches to the steady value, but the injection fraction keep decrease. Okay, and then eventually we can calculate, of course, sort of injection parameter, which is defined by the injection energy. Injection momentum is this Q times thermal momentum. Okay, depend on this parameter, but we can calculate a number of quantities. Okay, for instance, injection fractions and etc. Acceleration efficiency. The acceleration efficiency, of course, increase with Mach number. Okay, above this test particle approximation, basically breakdown. Okay, but interesting is that in this model, injection fraction have to decrease with a Mach number. But anyway, this model predicts that the acceleration efficiency is probably in this range, okay, in ICM shocks with a Mach number less than 5. Okay, so this is just the models, and then with this model, we
can I ask you, yeah, if I can expand? I think I have a little bit of a hard time grasping where the steady state will be reached. So you're putting energy into the non-thermal component, you're shifting down the Maxwellian.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
When does this stop? Or
well, eventually, as you can see, that
this curve was calculated for Pmax or Pmax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, what if injection is primarily due to reflection, what has it to do with downstream temperature? I would understand if it was leakage.
It's thermal leakage model. It doesn't matter whether it's really thermal leakage model or not. Okay, we just assume that the fractional particle sort of become non-thermal component. That's the all. Okay, it doesn't matter whether your leakage model or Damiano's picture of reflection, it doesn't matter, okay? Yeah. Okay, so then we check whether the efficiency we got would be consistent with observation by checking gamma ray from simulated clusters, okay?
Oh, okay.
Well, here, the acceleration efficiency, this the black and the red use the different something called the injection parameter, and this circle was calculated the amount of cosmic ray energy with the minimum and minimum momentum is injection momentum, and in this case we calculated with 780 MeV, okay, that is the threshold momentum for the interaction between thermal and cosmic ray particles, okay. Above this energy, cosmic ray particle can interact with the thermal particle and produce pions, okay.
In cosmic ray depends on where you put this minimum momentum. And so the minimum momentum, 780 MeV, it was used in previous authors like Frank Bobata. So we want to make a comparison between these two cases. Okay.
So here, basically what we did is that we did large-scale structure formation simulations and identified a number of clusters, okay? And in this cluster, we identified all the shocks in simulation data and convoluted this acceleration efficiency and see how much cosmic rays are produced inside the clusters of galaxies. Okay, so basically, this is basically, I don't know what different color means here. This is the shock energy flux in clusters with a different temperature as a function of a Mach number, okay? And this shows that the cosmic ray energy flux, okay, produced at shocks in intracluster medium, okay? Here, basically, the point is that the first of all, about 70% of shock dissipations occur at weak shocks with a Mach number 2.5. So we assume that there's no particle acceleration in these shocks. And then among the supercritical shocks, about one-fourth of them are quasi-parallel shocks, okay? The other is quasi-perpendicular shock. So if we assume that there's no particle acceleration at quasi-perpendicular shock, and only proton acceleration is quasi-parallel shocks, then CR protons produced only 70% of shock energy flux are able to produce cosmic rays, and then we multiply acceleration efficiency, then we found that about 10 to the minus 4 times of shock kinetic energy flux become shocks, become cosmic rays. Okay, so really very, very tiny, tiny fraction of shock energy used to accelerate cosmic rays. Okay, okay, then we compare this with this result with observations. Okay, forget about this detailed difference. Our point is that the red is again Fermi-Lat upper limit, and black circle is result from our simulations, and basically with the 10 to the minus 4 times shock kinetic energy flux go to the cosmic ray, we get a result which is consistent with the Fermi Lat upper limit. Okay, so basically here the lesson is that the acceleration efficiency is less than 1% overall at the shocks in intracluster medium. And then on the top of that, only a fraction of shocks can probably produce cosmic rays, okay? Subcritical shocks may not be produce cosmic ray at all, and quasi-perpendicular shocks may not accelerate proton at all, okay? So if we add all together, we may get number which is consistent with observation.
So where in those simulations did your statistics on quasi-parallel perpendicular come from? Was it MHD?
Yes, MHD, okay. Cosmology simulation is basically MHD, okay.
I think one should note, so you try to solve this problem by playing with injection efficiency. There is an alternative solution, or maybe there are two solutions that are required. Looking at transport of quantum rays within galaxy clusters.
Oh, okay, yes.
I think one should caution that this may not be the only solution.
Yes. There has been discussion on streaming and the diffusion of particles, and some of the particles may have been produced at the shock, may have been diffused out of clusters, and
if you don't need to diffuse them out, you just need to diffuse them across the core radius, which is not that far, right? So it's a factor of maybe it's somewhat 200 And then you drop the luminosity by a factor of 5.
So this different model with delta.
Yeah. The yeah. Count of this is yeah. This we try to count at least a part of that based on this. Okay, but yeah. Okay. This may be, I mean, change quantitative result, but yeah. Okay. Yes.
Couple of naive observation-like questions. So, what is the most promising cluster? If we believe that the prediction for the gamma ray
emission, he wants to actually see gamma rays.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not the right person to answer this.
Well, but I mean, I guess where the limit that you have for CERMI is the closest to your prediction.
It's Perseus. By far.
Yeah,
and then we spent 150 hours with the magic telescope and did not see anything. Well, we saw IC-310, we saw a lot of cool things. We didn't see the galaxy cluster.
Yeah.
And the only galaxy cluster which possibly shows inverse primary K emission from the ICM is Virgo, so M87, the low state. So then arguments can be made that this is sort of really the very much the core region of the Virgo galaxy cluster, and the spectral index there is consistent with the injection spectral indexes seen by the Doppler telescope, the electrons. So the story is, if indeed the AGN makes electrons or accelerates electrons and protons, and if the protons make it out, then the spectral index increases with what you see in Doppler.
So,
but this would be AGN cosmic rays, not
the cosmic rays. Yeah, right. AGN is the different story. So thank you. Okay. If we calculate the gamma ray, then we can always calculate neutrino as a bonus with just the minimum amount of additional work. So that's what we did. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. This shows that basically, yeah, I mean, this we also calculated this neutrino, and we with our acceleration efficiency and our model neutrino we estimate is an order of magnitude smaller than the previous estimation. Okay, that's fine. But the reason why I am interested in this neutrino is that recently people in Asian regions try to build up a neutrino detector, okay? And Hyper-K is a follow-up of Super Kamiokande, and the plan is that the two detectors are built in Japan and Korea, okay? And of course by particle physicists. And among people in Korea, we try to sort of optimize this Korean detector for suitable to absorb astrophysical neutrinos, okay? This is an ongoing project, and there's no guarantee that we will succeed. I'm sure that the Japanese one is almost funded. Yeah, almost accepted. Okay, but the Korean ones we are still working on, so I don't know whether we will succeed or
what
not.
What would be the frequency of detecting if everything?
Yeah,
works?
Yeah, I will come. Okay, I will come. Okay, so basically, this shows that this is from this is a plot showing in particle physics community showing that the neutrino flux observed on Earth. Okay, ice cube is in this range, highest energy range, and there's almost no noisy in a sense, and so it's easy to detect from high energy neutrino from astrophysical source. And this detector we named, although it's not there, we call it KNO, okay, intend to cover this range, okay, up to 100 GeV, okay, and I would be interesting to see what kind of a signal will be detected with this kind of facility, and then so take a look at the cluster. Okay, this shows that, of course, this is all modeling, and in this energy range, the largest flux coming from atmospheric neutrino, okay, this is atmospheric neutrino, and we modeled a number of clusters and see what the neutrino would be looks like. So basically, we found that the Virgo probably gives the highest signal because Virgo is closest, and then this is about 1% of atmospheric neutrino if we observe toward that direction. Okay, so the conclusion is that this might be hard to detect this kind of signal, but it is good for publication of paper. Okay, so okay, I think we can take a look at other objects like starburst galaxy might be more sort of promising, but I don't know. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so this is a short summary. Okay, for protons in clusters of galaxies, the issue is that how to reduce the acceleration there. Okay, the key is that we need to understand long-term evolution of collisionist shocks, okay, through peak or hybrid simulations. Okay, that may be hard, but will be done in the future. Okay, so I'm doing okay. So we quickly go to the second topics. Okay, so which you guys might be more interesting, but this is
do you want questions about the first part first?
First part questions and
I might be sort of like a broken record, but so what about the secondary electrons in this picture, like with the efficiency that you require for the protons not to be seen as hadronic gamma ray sources?
Secondary electrons?
Yes. So what is there like a prediction for how much of the like radio halo luminosity is provided by secondary particles that are produced by the same interactions?
Yes, and if I understand, I'm not working on that field, and people here, Christopher and Tom, may know better, and the hadronic origin of radio halo may not work, okay, but secondary particles could be like seeded particles for turbulent observations, and also basically radio halo is now interpreted due to the electrons accelerated by turbulence.
Okay. Yeah, I understand, but I was just wondering, like, you have a very precise number for how many protons you have, and how does that translate into the expectation for the
Well, I think that the number of people, including Christopher, worked with even higher acceleration efficiency, and then secondary electron model for radio halo has been almost exclusive. So this one may indicate that the contribution may be even less. Okay. Yeah.
Do we agree? Or so is this a statement of the fact that the protons not seen in gamma rays means that all the most of the electrons in the radio halos cannot be secondary?
The fact that we observe a bimodal distribution immediately tells you it cannot be hadronic, at least at the prime emission. So
it could be re-accelerated.
Otherwise, you cannot switch off a hadronic radio halo on a time scale of a few hundred mega years.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if I understand your self-correlation injection mechanism, such that once the particles are accelerated, they go down. Temperature from downstream plasma, you see.
Reduce the
region. Eject less, so it's self-regulation. And the second thing is be accustomed to the E to electron to proton efficiency, like 1%, and here it's inverse relation. It's, what is the upper limit of there the one sets to the proton to electron acceleration?
Well, it does not say anything about protons, electrons, okay?
Yeah, but so they have to say
we do not know, okay, electron acceleration at this kind of a shock very much, okay? Yes. There has been simulations, but
what is observation? Simulations?
The observation basically rely on observation of radio relics, okay? The point is that in the radio relic, electron acceleration have to be very, very efficient, okay? So that's why many people in these days believe that the electron acceleration is not sort of fresh injection and acceleration. It may be deacceleration of a pre-existing component.
I think he's asking about if you have the acceleration efficiency you've got, then what's the ratio you're expecting of acceleration of protons to electrons?
We don't see the electron acceleration in parallel shocks.
There's no electron acceleration. In parallel shocks, no acceleration of electron at all.
This is observational.
No, this is simulation. There's no observation. There's no observation which can tell us whether that is correct or not.
I think maybe the most robust statement is what you made before, that if you are asking for the electrons that are powering the radio relics to come from injection of the shock, you would require 10% of the shock energy
to
be put into those electrons.
That says
either that or the electrons need to come from somewhere else. And if they come from somewhere else, it could be
in the same context.
It's growth and acceleration by being heavily suppressed.
It could be.
If that were the explanation for the relics, for the electrons, obviously you can't put 100 times more energy into protons.
So that's the issue, unresolved issue in here. Okay. Yeah.
But higher, slightly higher. Quasi burp shocks seem to be happy accelerating electrons and not protons.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and relics are quasi burp shocks.
Yeah.
On large scale.
Well, but you can arrange to be quasi burp.
I heard that, but they are quasi burp.
Yes. So I should say this issue is not resolved. So you can play.
Sure.
Yeah.
So at this compression ratio, you must have been at like this 50 degrees.
So Mach number 5 shock may be okay to accelerate electrons, but the Mach number 2 to 3 shocks may be hard.
Right. That's why I'm.
It's hard to make Mach number five.
It's almost impossible to produce Mach number 5 shocks in.
We need to critically analyze where these numbers are coming from. They're coming from X-ray observations, and people model things rather.
I got the observations. I think it's just given the scenario, it's hard to make Mach 5 shocks at these radii.
Yeah. Okay.
There are a few cases as well with the density jump as well, right? So that should be probably the most robust. Because the temperature, I agree, the temperature of the electrons doesn't need to be the same as the temperature of the ions. And it's
right,
often you rely on that.
There is a
but the density ratio, I think there are.
The electron temperature too.
Was the projection effects included? I mean, assuming a spherical cowl, as they usually do.
I'm sorry, if we need to change the Mach number by, factor 1.5, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
This is astronomy after all.
Well, dynamically, Mach 5 shocks would not be expected in this situation.
So, okay. So this is another topic I want to present, and we have not published any paper on this topic. So this is an ongoing project, and I'm not sure whether we will be able to publish any paper with this topic, but I think still there's interesting stops there. Okay. Here, Sun-Jung Kim is a postdoc. He is working on quasi-linear analysis, and Ji-Hoon is doing, he is a student working on simulations, and Hae-Seung and I, we are not doing much, and we just encourage them to work hard, and that's what
we know how it works.
Yeah, they are doing all the works. Anyway, so what is kappa? Okay, first. Okay, Maxwellian distribution looks like that, then the kappa distribution with a different kappa value. Basically, Maxwellian is described just one parameter, temperature, but the kappa need the temperature and the kappa value. Okay, if there is a kappa value is larger than smaller, means that, that there is a sort of a larger sort of extent of I should call supra-thermal component. Okay, but then why kappa? Okay, why? Until a couple of years ago, several years ago, I was completely happy with the Maxwellian, but I start to think about kappa. Why kappa? Okay, first, supra-thermal tails are very common in number of plasma systems. Okay, for instance, this is observation for the solar wind plasma. Okay, there's a people from STEP community, and then there's a core, and then halo. Here, this halo is described by kappa value here 7, but then typically 4, 5, 6, or something like that. And then there are superhalo or something called a strile, okay, and with a kappa value smaller. Okay, this is observations. Okay, so at least in the plasma system where we can measure particle distribution, this is a very common. Okay, this is empirical reason why we may think we may need to think about kappa. Okay, and then I added this from student presentation, but part of that. And another reason, there's theoretical reason why we may think about kappa based on statistical physics. Okay, I will go through quickly in 3 pages. And well, then the Boltzmann statistics assume that the entropy is like this. Okay, this kind of entropy is terminology is extensive and addictive. Okay, it means that the entropy of two system is the entropy of this system is equal to entropy of two subsystem. Okay, fine. This kind of entropy hold if interaction between particle is a short range force. Okay, the particle in this system provide all the phase space. Okay, informations, and then separately, then fine. Okay. Okay. But how about if interaction is a long range, okay? And then the system is not necessarily have extensive entropy, okay? If this one interacts with a particle far away, if you divide half, then entropy is not equal to this, okay? Okay, so in order to describe this kind of system, I still don't know how to pronounce this name, Jarlis or whatever. Okay, he proposed some modification of the entropy form, like this. Okay, fine. Okay, this is a sort of a textbook level, or you can find even in Googling. And then with that kind of statistics, you can try to calculate equilibrium particle distribution. Okay, the way what I found is that normally minimizing something called the Helmholtz free energy, etc., etc., then with the Boltzmann entropy, you get Maxwellian. Okay, but if you assume long-range interaction with the Jarlis statistics, then you get kappa. Okay, of course that in plasma system, electrostatic force and electromagnetic force are long-range force. Okay, so this is one of the reasons why we might consider kappa. Okay, so in if I understand correctly, solar physics community, yes.
And is there any way to understand the value of kappa?
The value of kappa is a different story. It's a parameter. Okay, depending on the system, how the kappa. How kappa?
Touch on that here.
Yeah. Okay. So we will come. Okay. I will come. Okay. So this kind of tails or halo or those kind of particle distribution has been studied in solar physics community, space physics community a lot. So, and in that community, this is a well-known topic, right? And then, for instance, that the number of people suggest how, what is the origin of a kappa distribution? For instance, that Peter Yun suggested that the electrostatic interactions followed by beam plasma interaction produce kappa-like distributions, and that was relied on electrostatic interaction. And this is a work by Peter Gary, and he looked at the Whistler mold, and if the background magnetic field is very strong, means that the plasma beta here, this is a plasma beta, is a very, very small, so strong magnetic field, then Whistler mold can produce kappa-like distributions. But still, the origin of a suprasumal electron is not completely understood. Is it right statement? Okay, yeah. So we try to look at what it looks like in ICM plasma. Okay, so we carried out simulations, okay. Simulation can be carried out always without having solid background of knowledge, or so you can just learn it. And so this is what we did. And so with the plasma, ICM plasma environment, we added a beam, okay, see what happened, okay. And of course, the beam speed is a free parameter, and
the density is pretty large.
Yep.
The density of the beam was significant.
Yeah. This is electron beams, and it's like this.
You're balancing it with what? The charge.
Yeah. You charge balance.
You're adding 20% extra protons on the back.
No. Proton is all Maxwellian, and.
Charging neutrality, you need the extra protons.
Yes. Charging neutrality and no current. Okay, so.
But where should I call the field current? Hmm? How do you cancel current?
Okay, all system, the electrons all move opposite to the beam direction. Whole electrons. Protons moving. Okay, yeah,
so
whatever. Okay.
Protons move or electrons?
So proton is moving, right?
Right.
But anyway, the system, the simulation does not have a.
What's the temperature? Because if you have not temperature,
extreme. Temperature is 10 to the 8.
It's pretty low. Yeah,
the plasma beta is 100, so my field is very weak. Okay, this is a typical temperature of ICM. Okay.
And if you make the electrons move with respect to the ice, with low temperature.
Yeah. So I will come. Okay. So after a while, okay, we ran this simulation as much as we could, okay, and this is simply without describing anything, this is what we get, okay. This is a beam speed, different beam speed, okay. First of all, red is particle distribution from simulation, black. Dotted black line is Maxwellian, describing Maxwellian core, and the blue line shows a kappa distributions, okay, different kappa, okay, if we start with a different beam velocity. Okay, so by the way, this Maxwellian is basically initial temperature, okay, so. Okay, again, this is not very sophisticated simulation. Still, this is a sort of a preliminary simulation to see what happened. Okay, as you can see that basically Maxwellian core plus a halo-like structure develop in ICM as in solar wind environment. Okay, so although magnetic field is very weak, okay, and
can I ask, do you have a way to know whether the wings are given by beam particles or by background electrons?
The background electrons, okay. Yeah, it's all mixed up, okay. All right, so Okay, this one shows that we learn this simulation for long. Okay, electron collision time scale in whatever in this unit about 40, but we learn up to 10 times longer. Okay, the point is that this shape sustained. Okay, this simply from simulation. Okay.
And what happened to the beam?
Beam disappeared. It's mixed up all with it. Okay.
And what was the initial beam drift velocity?
Okay.
Acoustic?
Yeah, the beam drift velocity is fairly large. Okay. Yes. As you can see that the
I remember, but in terms of
this is in terms of speed of light, and this is a beam. Okay. This is a real scale. Okay.
So the ion acoustic
is actually probably small. Ion acoustic, okay. So I will come back to that issue later. Okay. So even long-term evolution, it does not change. Actually, it quickly settled down and it just go as it is, okay? And we tried a different setup, okay? I know that in these days, number of people, including you, did this decaying of a magnetic field, right? And for pair plasmas, right? And we basically followed similar sort of a setup and did a simulation. I will skip the details. And then what happened? Okay. Again, we saw kappa-like distribution, distribution deviate from Maxwellian. Okay, fine. Okay, and then the question we want to answer is that whether this suprathermal electrons will be maintained or not. Okay, there's possibility that this, as time goes on, become Maxwellian. Or another possibility is that it's just sustained. But the observations, at least our simulations, shows that it is sustained. Okay, that's as far as we can go, okay.
It should be still going to Maxwell, you know, Gaussian. I don't see.
Well, but these long range forces, these things become quasi stationary.
Right.
So there's still.
It's a long range force.
Yeah,
but depending on the number of particles, they can be quasi stationary for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. Eventually, yeah. That's what it is.
But the point is, I think in practice, that the time it remains quasi-stationary depends on the number of particles in the system, and that's quite large.
So I will come back to that.
Yes, sir.
So basically, we check if there is a plasma and background waves, whether the interaction between plasma and the background wave can sustain this kind of a distribution or not. Okay, we test that. Okay. So basically,
it depends on what time scale we get.
Okay.
so
we tested this assumption that the electron basically emit wave, and the wave basically sustain particles. I think this kind of approach has been employed already in solar physics community to study halos and strial in solar wind particle distribution. So this kind of approach is nothing new in that community.
And the spontaneous?
Yeah.
This strial is different story. Anisotropic, so you cannot.
Yes. Strial is anisotropic. That's right. So this is more or less like a halo. Okay, yeah.
And this spontaneously emission is not related to any motions of your plasma. It's just
this is particle distribution produced.
Just okay. So
I can show you. Energy. I can show you. Certainly. Okay. So what we did is that we assumed that 97 from this simulation, we found that the suprathermal electrons take about 3%. So we assumed that 97% follow Maxwellian distribution, and 3% follow kappa distribution. In this specific case, we consider kappa equal 5 case, so moderate case, okay. And then we try to calculate first the emission of wave. And I will not go through details, and this involves huge calculations and analytic calculation, and Sun Jung Kim he did this kind of calculation before for solar wind problems. So we could borrow his previous work. And this is what is showing. Okay. So from the quasi-linear analysis, we found that there are, first of all, this is a relatively long wavelength range, and this is short wavelength range. And then there is a Langmuir mode, and this is, he told me this is R mode, and I don't know what is exactly R mode is, but this is R mode, and but this is not very important, and the blow up, this region is like this, okay? This is from quasi-linear theory, and this is Langmuir mode, and then if we increase the box size, we see also Whistler mode too, okay? Fine. Okay, this is from simulations, okay? This is a small box simulation. This is basically wave analysis coming from peak simulations, okay, showing what kind of wave exists. Okay, so this is a simulation, peak simulation with a kappa 4, like this, okay. Maxwellian also emit Langmuir. This is a theoretically predicted Langmuir mode. Maxwellian emit Langmuir mode, like this, but much lower level. Okay, if kappa, as kappa decrease, as you can see that the mode here become stronger and stronger. Okay, this is roughly the wavelengths corresponding to the resonant wavelengths with the kappa component. Okay, so this mode is, we see this mode is enhanced. Okay. If we increase the box size, we can see also the Whistler mode. Okay, so again, this is a Maxwellian. Okay, with the kappa, there is a mode resonate with the kappa mode. There's a wave mode resonate with the kappa component. Okay, fine. Okay, and then so basically there are two important. There are three modes we see through quasi-linear analysis and the simulations, Langmuir mode, R mode, and Whistler mode, and R mode seems to be not very important in interacting with the particles. So basically, these two modes, and we have done two simulations, the different box size, okay? This is a large box and a smaller box. In this box, there's no, in smaller box, basically due to the limitation of a box size, there's no Whistler mode, okay? But still, we see basically the particle distribution is basically the same, okay? We interpret that this might indicate that the particle wave interaction is mostly through Langmuir mode, okay? Electrostatic mode than the electromagnetic mode, okay? This was our interpretation. Okay, so in order to see,
you can turn off the field.
What?
You can just turn off the magnetic field.
Maybe you can do that, but I don't know whether a student Jihoon know how to do that. This is your code.
So.
Okay, he said that if he put B equal zero, then code have some numerical problems. I don't know what, why.
No, it shouldn't.
Okay, so your code, so you should be better. So basically what we did following, okay, in quasi-linear analysis, we start with the suprathermal electrons and assume, calculate, like assuming steady state has been reached, okay, so ddt term all dropped out, okay, then we can calculate luminosity of a wave, okay. And this luminosity of a wave, okay, is actually from here to here, seems to be almost calculated analytically, okay. So this we calculate also if this is, what kind of a particle distribution came out by this kind of a wave. Okay, this is what we did. This is a this is what we get, okay? So this is the basically red line is basically initially core plus halo distributions, and then through the quasi-linear analysis, we have gone through this, and then wave particle interaction predict blue line. So it seems to be that the Langmuir mode can sustain this kind of distributions. Okay, so that's as much as we can.
What is the relative dual temperature?
Same here. We assume that electrons.
The same.
Yeah, same. Okay. So there has been similar work in low beta plasmas. Okay. I think this is Dmitry is not here, and this is one of Dmitry's work. Okay. Basically, if you do this and in the low beta plasma, means that the magnetic field is very strong. And if you store magnetic field, then the amount of energy involved is fairly large. Okay. So what happens is that first of all, temperature, electron temperature increase, and on the top of that, basically particles, non-thermal particles develop, okay? But what we found is that at least in our box simulations, this is first electron and ions, there's no temperature increase, and only development of this non-thermal, supra-thermal tails, and no heating of electrons. And I think that this is due to the high beta environment, and also the box size is limited, so the wave which can hit ions cannot be accommodated in our simulations. So basically we are trying to do 1D simulation with a large box size. Previous simulation all I showed you is a 2D simulation, so we are extending the simulations further. Okay.
What is the smallest
what
scale you can resolve? You don't go to device scale, right?
Okay, so in the fine simulations with the small box simulation has 10 ion gyro radius, and the cell size is 1/100th of electron skin depth and something like that.
1/100th.
And the device length? I don't know.
This is most critical in this type of problem.
I can check later.
So
that's as much as what we have done, and as I said, this is an ongoing project. And if particle distribution in the ICM is a kappa, there should be a number of consequences. And first of all, it can change X-ray. The interpretation of X-ray observations. Okay, this is from Maxim's presentation files. He compares, same temperature with a kappa value. 3 is a little bit large. To me, it's like 4 or 5 is probably okay. But anyway, this is the line strength can change. Also, X-ray bremsstrahlung. I have. Needed is to go that the high energy component can mimic like inverse competence scattering, so et cetera. And there is a transport property, heat conductivity, those kind of things can change, and also Sunyaev-Zeldovich effect can be also changed. So a whole bunch of things can change, okay, if kappa distribution hold in ICM. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's all.